Manager for North Bristol Trust. As part of our November campaign to raise awareness of making best use of evidence and knowledge within the NHS, I'm interviewing Seema, Care of the Elderly Consultant at MBT, Joint Chair of the Women's Staff Network at MBT, and Deputy Medical Director at UHBW. So, can you tell us a little bit about your role?
Morning, Liz. Yeah, I'm Dr. Seema Srivastava. I work at MBT. It's my 16th year as a consultant there in our Care of the Elderly department, and really proud to be clinically practicing there. As you said, I've also taken up this joint chair role of our Women's Staff Network, quite a new network, which hopefully we can come on to as we continue our conversation. And really excited that I also am the Deputy Medical Director at University Hospitals Bristol and Western Foundation Trust. And that role enables me to have a great overview of both acute trusts in Bristol and Western, and be able to collaborate across the work that we do for our population. So that's me. I'm also a mother. I'm a runner, so when I'm not doing stuff like this, I'm usually up a mountain somewhere running in the trails.
Wow, that sounds amazing. You've got a lot of hats. How do you stay up to date with information and evidence?
In lots of different ways, I would say, I think. One of the things that I think has become more and more sort of accessible is what's available sort of online and in social media. Social media can be a bane of our lives and sometimes felt quite negative, but in some of the social media platforms that I join, I can get great information, whether it's around sort of clinical evidence and new research, or some new opportunities to join conferences or online sessions, people's thoughts and opinions as well around really thorny topics, whether that's around sort of clinical medicine or more around policies that relate to health and healthcare. As well as that, there's the ability to use what we have available in our trusts. So in terms of information of what's going on in both organisations, we've got Link at MBT. We've got a slightly new platform in UHBW called Viva Engage, which I'm really enjoying, which we call a sort of Facebook for the NHS and for our trust. And that just keeps me connected to what's going on locally as well. And I think also that in terms of getting knowledge, there's nothing more helpful sometimes than popping into level 9 in the BRI site in UHBW or in the restaurant in Western to just talk to people and find out what's going on, and same in the View at MBT, and just having conversations with people and what they're working on. So yeah, I think face to face, online, and through our platforms locally, just generally what I tend to go to.
That's great. Thank you. Do you find you have to deal with information overload in your day-to-day work?
Well, what I've just described sounds like a lot, doesn't it? And I haven't mentioned things like, you know, going to conferences and sort of face-to-face events. I think mental load is a big thing, I think, for everybody. And particularly in health and care. So I think there's something around how I create some space in my day-to-day life and just be aware of how much information can I realistically take in. And I am someone who gets really bad FOMO, fear of missing out. So there is something around actually being able to stop and to switch energies and think, actually, in order to absorb and use information usefully, I also need some time to be in nature, to get some fresh air, do something like moving my body. And I think that really helps. But there is something that I think we also need to be aware of in terms of the information we give out. How much do we include? How can we sort of chunk it down into little bits? And I could talk a little bit about that with our Women's Staff Network.
That's great. I love your little tips there for getting out into nature. I think that's really helpful. So, are you part of any professional networks or communities of practice, or have there been any that have been influential in your career?
So I can't answer this question without mentioning the North Bristol Trust Women's Staff Network. So we launched the Women's Staff Network in July 2023. It was an idea that was buzzing around in my head in terms of actually how can we support women working in our trust to reach their full potential and to help influence issues and support the trust. So the network is for any person working at MBT who identifies as a woman. We have just over 100 members. We're still quite a young staff network compared to some others established in MBT. And myself and Vardeep Diogan are joint chairs of that network, along with a very proud but sort of a bite-sized committee of colleagues who help us, and I've got to name check them. There's Anne O'Malley from our patient experience team, Marianne Rodriguez, who's a finance manager in our finance team, Pooja Podder, who is the medical daycare sister, and we are a fantastic ally, Ajay Joshi, who's a support manager in pathology. And I guess that little team, what we're able to do, I hope, helps support women in MBT with the issues that are really live for them. One of the reasons I found having the network available is that there are some real struggles that I experience that I need help with, and women's health has been a really important topic that women in MBT have wanted us to do more around. So we've covered things like breastfeeding, breast care, pelvic problems, periods, returning to work, sexual safety at work, which is a really current topic with the national guideline and policy published this month. And so being able to access information, and we've got fantastic experts in North Bristol Trust who are able to guide us and inform us around these topics. So for me, that's been a really influential network that I'm really proud that we've launched, and so much more to do and so much more I could talk about with that. Maybe we'll circle back to that. I'm also a member of the BAME, Black Asian Minority Ethnic Staff Network at MBT, joint chairs being Marcia Dawkins and Professor Sanjay Gandhi. And I think in terms of race issues, that's been a huge support for myself and colleagues at MBT, and it's for both of these networks. We're really lucky and fortunate to have really engaged executive sponsors. So Maria Kane is the exec sponsor for our Women's Staff Network, and I think it's just being able to know that whatever the issues are that we're facing, we can take action ourselves, but we can also gain support from our executive team. There are staff networks at UHBW that mirror those networks, the RAIN network in UHBW and the Women's Staff Network there. And more we intend to collaborate across so that everybody who's working in MBT and UHBW can feel supported.
Oh, that's a fabulous answer. Thanks for highlighting some of the networks available across the two organisations and the importance of them, and actually the kind of the support that they hold for staff within both organisations and the impact they're having across the trust. That's brilliant. Thank you. So closely related, what would you say is the value of nurturing professional relationships and sharing knowledge within a community?
I think it's hugely important. I think we all have a role to play, whatever our job is in UHBW NBT, because we all hold knowledge, and that might be knowledge that is related to health and care, but it might be something else that we do outside of our jobs. I think knowledge is a huge element, a part of how we equip ourselves to manage in life, whether it's our working life or our personal life. And without that, it feels like we're we're not equipped and we can feel that the struggle is real when we're trying to go about our day-to-day sort of jobs. And so sharing knowledge, I think, is a challenge as to how we can, you know, we mentioned that overload. What are the different ways of getting that across to such a, you know, if we combine the workforce in MBT and UHBW, it's massive. It's thousands and thousands of people. So I think it's a bit of a call to action to everybody to think of creative and diverse ways of sharing knowledge in all parts of our organisation and to feel that that's part of our responsibility as well. And as I said, some of the best knowledge sharing is just through talking to each other rather than maybe some of the more complicated ways that we try and do it.
Thank you. I'm going to tweak the next question now, so I might put you off slightly. Would you say connecting people to the right knowledge and evidence plays a part in improving patient care?
100%. I think it's it relates very much, Liz, to the feeling equipped with the right tools, and so that can be in the form of whether it's patient safety and guidelines. I know in the calendar that for November there's some great people who are going to talk about that. Both organisations are committed to what we call patient first. I know you've got someone speaking. We've got the fantastic Helen Gilbert speaking about that. And, you know, being able to continuously improve what we do will have such a great impact on patient care. Being able to keep up to date with patient safety knowledge and also new guidelines, because there are so many. What we can do to make that easier for people so that they can go into their work and provide great care absolutely will have an impact on patients and our population. So, being able to connect the right knowledge to the right people, it's a gift when it happens, not always easy to do.
That fabulously takes us into the next question, which is about the Lord Darzi Commission report, which highlighted several areas where established evidence has not been put into practice. So what do you think might be some of the barriers to adoption?
Yeah, so it's great to have that report and those three shifts now that we must focus on, you know, a real call to action around patient voice and staff voice, you know, listening to the people who are delivering care every day, whether it's patient facing or otherwise. That shift from analog to digital, you know, how can we start harnessing some of these innovations? And actually, can care happen in a different way? Does it need to be in these buildings we call hospitals? And actually, more and more, we can bring different activities to different spaces and places with our community, not to our community. I think that's a really important thing. And being able to, I think, for me now, make it really accessible for people to get involved in research and applied research that can convert into practice. So really sort of pragmatic things that we can do in our clinical world is, I think, something that's going to be really important. I think being able to ask curious questions, which is what research is, anyone can do that. It doesn't have to be someone who's got research on their name badge or someone who's a doctor or a nurse or an allied health professional. So actually, how can we start making that real for people? We've got so much available when we're looking at also artificial intelligence capability. Got a new supercomputer sitting in Bristol that's able to do computations at, you know, really fast sort of levels now. How can we make that real, though, for people that might feel that that's a world away from what they do? We have to start making it real, because I don't believe we can start delivering the sort of what Darzi feels we need to until we start making it really an important thing for everybody that they can feel that they're connected to.
Fabulous. Some great insights there. And I think my takeaway from that is the with our community bit. I'm going to remember that one. That's a lovely insight. Thank you. So just moving the questions back to the Women's Network now. If people wanted to find out more about the Women's Network at MBTE, how would they do that?
Yeah. So we've got some really simple ways. So we've got and maybe Liz, you'll be able to share some of that in the resources available connected to November. So you can email us at the Women's Staff Network. We've got a mailbox that we reply to and can add you on. There's a really simple Microsoft form that we make it as simple as possible that you can with a QR code that we can provide. So and it's just a form that then puts you into our mailbox. We have a link website which at MBT you're able to then see you know, all those things of how you join, when the next event is coming up, which I'll let you know in a minute, and who we are essentially, and some sort of insights from our previous network forums. We're really, really grateful for our colleagues in the people team who at every staff induction will mention all the staff networks. We're really blessed to have many staff networks. When we think about our LGBTQIA plus staff network, our disabilities networks, I've probably forgotten some, so forgive me. There's an opportunity for our new members of MBT to join the staff network. Similarly, in UHBW, our colleagues are working towards those, you know, just really equivalent ways of joining. And so it's a bit of a watch this space and a relaunch there for the staff network. I'm sort of really, really excited about that, because working in both trusts, I want to see sort of these opportunities shared. And we invite anybody to come to our events that we put on from UHBW and MBT. So we've been really grateful for people to coming across. I'm looking across to just make sure I get the details right for our next staff network. It's December the 4th. At 9:45 a.m. It's for people who are on site in Avon Seminar Room, Level 5, but we always make it hybrid, so which makes it interesting for us to deliver doing a hybrid event, but we recognise that some people can't come on site. We don't mind if you come for some of it, 5 minutes of it, all of it. It's really, really sort of, friendly space for any woman who's working at MBT to join.
Fantastic. There's a lot going on, so get involved. So if you were to get one piece of involved with the Women's Network or possibly any of our networks, what would you say?
You just cut out there just ever so slightly. Do you mind just repeating the question again, Liz?
Yeah, no problem. What final piece of advice would you give to anyone looking to get involved with the Women's Network or perhaps any of our networks across MBT or UHBW?
I think, gosh, you know, we, as I said before, we have, you know, probably around 25,000 people, of which, you know, majority are women, who have brilliant ideas and have some struggles as well. So we want to hear about them, and for you to help us solve them. So if there are burning issues that, something that you really feel passionately around, come join us in the Women's Staff Network and we can support you in how we can look at influencing and impacting on those things. So we're great problem solvers as women. So I'd encourage anyone who's got an idea, an opportunity or an issue that's really making them feel it's a struggle, come and join us. And same with the other staff networks. Often people get most sort of energy from being able to be part of the solution and to be connected into the organization that really wants to listen and help. So please come and join us.
Thank you. And thanks very much for sharing your time and your insights with us. And we really appreciate your perspectives on knowledge sharing, evidence-based practice, and especially the importance of collaboration through the staff networks. Thank you.
Thanks, Liz.